Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Scottish Sun Sports podcast sponsored by William Hill. I'm Derek McGregor. Joining me is Kenny Miller. Kenny, are you well?
Good, Derek, thanks.
Had a good Christmas?
It was short-lived, but not looking forward to the Russia Games, as everyone else is.
I think we're both now struggling for match fitness.
That's safe to say.
I've not stuck to the usual rigid sports science kind of diet over the Christmas period.
Just as well, Brendan Rodgers has outlined exactly what he expects from not only his players, but presumably the rest of us in today's paper.
The Old Firm game, Kenny, I mean, a brilliant fixture. I think it's great to have it again in the football calendar. You know, Rangers will be so motivated in this game. I appreciate every Old Firm game, Rangers are motivated. But, you know, on the back of the 5-1 game at Parkhead, they will be so desperate to put that right. Could that be a kind of hindrance in a way for the players? Because they could be overly motivated? Or is that the proper way they should go into this?
No, I think you're spot on. It's a difficult balancing act for Rangers because they have to be more on the front foot in Celtic's face, play with that intensity, but at the same time, the match has to be refereed properly. You can't have Joe Gardner simply throwing himself into other players as a weapon. I mean, he seems to have no regard for his own health and his own safety at some points. He treads a very, very fine line, and especially with the kind of cult hero status that he's got now for very little, I would argue, I think... will want to throw himself about and unsettle that Celtic defence, and more so in this game than any other, given what's at stake on and off the pitch. I don't think it'll be tolerated, so it'll be difficult for Rangers to play the way that I think they have to try and get a result.
It's a especially difficult one for Joe Gardner because he's now well established as a striker who, shall we say, puts himself about a bit, and you know the referees, not just for Saturday, are now going to be aware of how he approaches games, and you know, the disciplinary side of it could really start counting against him.
I can understand why the Rangers fans have taken to him to an extent, because he's obviously a wholehearted player. He gives his all, but at the same time, he should have gone against Hearts for breaking Perry Kitchen's nose. And there's other sides to his game as well. He does throw himself down. He does antagonise players to a level I'm not sure is acceptable. But the Rangers fans won't care. Listen, if the ball bounces in off his backside and it gets them a 1-0 win, they'll be obviously delighted. But still, for me, Celtic comfortable winners.
I was at the Hearts game at Ibrox, Kenny, and Joe Gardner got substituted and got an incredible ovation as he was coming off. And I must admit, with the greatest of respect to him, I couldn't understand that. For me, he's a striker who's there to score goals. He's not scoring goals. And while on one hand, I do admire his commitment, on the other, he's not scoring goals and he's not looking likely to score goals, and he was the biggest summer signing for Mark Warburton, and here he is getting a standing ovation, getting a standing ovation. He hadn't scored, but he'd put himself about. You know, the Rangers fans have, you know, they've taken him to their hats because of that, but does he not have to start scoring goals?
He does. For what, maybe we're missing the point, but I just think for 1.8 million you need more than someone who's going to, I think he literally just throws his body about.
I think he's got 3 goals to his name so far, but it's almost like we can forget that. You know, as long as he puts himself about, he's doing his job.
I'm just not sure his hold-up play is good enough to bring others into play often enough to make the case that he's doing enough if he doesn't score goals. For me, he's not cutting it, but I can see why the Rangers fans have taken to him to an extent, but maybe it also says a bit about where Rangers are. If you think about some of the leading front men that Rangers have had over the years, Joe Gardner's not really fit to polish their boots.
I mean,
I don't want to be too harsh on him. No. He does put in a shift, but at the same time, as a neutral, you can't look at him. I don't look at him and enjoy what I see, to be honest.
Yeah, I have to say again, it's nothing personal in Joe Gardner, but you know, if I'm watching it from a football point of view, I'm wanting to start seeing more from him. I don't want to just see him bullying defenders, and like, I think there's there's still a place for that with strikers. There's no way they should be giving defenders an easy time. But first and foremost, a striker's in there to be dangerous and to try and score goals. Listen, we have to balance this, Kenny. He boasts, you know, he's scored in one of his first games for Rangers at Parkhead. And he's good in the air. That's the one thing of the games I've seen that he's definitely good in the air.
For his height, especially.
For his height.
Sprint.
So, you know, Saturday would be a fantastic stage for him to score.
And he does unsettle defences. For all I've criticised him, you saw that game against Hearts at Ibrox, two established people in Igor Rossi and John Souter. They didn't quite know how to handle him. They didn't know whether to get tight and end up with a broken nose like Perry Kitchen. Didn't know whether to stand off him, to let him spin. I don't know, for me, Kenny Miller would still be the main man in terms of Rangers strikers going into this one, but there's no doubt Joe Gardner does have some plus points. For me, the cons still outweigh the pros, though.
Presuming Martin Wycorn has come through, the St Johnston game, suddenly found form again, and, you know, going into an Old Firm game, the timing of that, you know, Wycorn is, there's no doubt about it, he's buzzing again, and on his game, he's another potential big threat to the Celtic defence.
I'm pleased for him because, from the outside looking in, he looked like someone in the last few months who maybe just suffered a wee bit in this Goldfish Bowl up here. I think most of us saw the video that was on the website that went viral with his brush, shall we say, with someone that was giving him grief in the street. And you could see in his face how frustrated he was. That has been reflected on the pitch as well. But I think I'm right in saying he volunteered to go and play in a development game at Ross County. And to me, that says a bit about his character. He didn't have to do that. Plenty of other players wouldn't bother, so he's definitely worked hard to get himself back in this position, and he will ask questions of Celtic. I just think they'll be too good and they'll have the answers.
It's interesting you mentioned that desire to play in the development game, and that's to his credit. It shows a right good attitude. You know, there's shades of Lee Griffiths in that. Remember, Lee Griffiths a number of years ago agreed to go to Sunderland and play for the development team, and he was out the picture with Celtic. And from there, almost, it was like a turning point for Lee Griffiths at Celtic. You know, going back to Wycorn, he's addressed the contract issues, he's expressed a desire to stay. Clearly, when he's on form, he's a big player for Rangers.
I think after saying all this now, Rangers are going to go and win 3-0 now, for all I've talked them down. I suppose it's a positive problem for Matt Warburton to have to pick between Kenny Miller, Martin Wycorn and Joe Gardner, but just compare it to the decisions Brendan Rodgers has got to make. We're kind of looking for positives for Rangers and looking for reasons to talk them up, but you don't even have to make that effort with Celtic. Their positives and everything that's going for them, it screams at you. It's obvious.
I mean, I suppose Joe Gardner's got an obvious advantage over Kenny Miller and Martin Wycorn. I mean, he's got a song in the charts. The other two don't.
I think some of that stuff's been quite funny. I think some of the Twitter back and forth were a bit cringeworthy. Some of it was quite funny. The one that for me was a bit cringeworthy was his slide tackle on a Christmas tree, but maybe the less said about that, the better.
Aye, so we'll quickly move on. I mean, just from a Rangers point of view, can Rangers win the Old Firm game?
They can, but they won't. Anyone can win a game. Even my Sunday league team could fluke a win once this year, hopefully, but they won't.
Your Sunday league team could beat Celtic, is that what you're saying?
I've seen a few strikers in the Sunday league like Joe Garner, but no. We will struggle to win a game this year, and Rangers will struggle to win this weekend. Just can't see it.
If they were to win, what would it prove?
It would prove that anyone can beat anyone on their day, and it would prove that they've definitely altered their approach and that they've found a way to win games. But in the grand scheme of things, there's still going to be a chasm between the teams.
From a Celtic perspective now, you know, there's a chain of thought that, you know, if they lose, so what? They've got such a big lead. You know, the Celtic fans will even take losing the unbeaten run because, according to a lot of Celtic fans, it's all about 10 in a row. Do you buy that?
I don't, because I think you saw in the season that Arsenal went unbeaten. You could see the pressure sort of creep in because it's such a big achievement that it is something you want to protect. But I don't know how important it'll be to Brendan Rodgers. He doesn't seem to have the biggest ego for that perspective. I think he would probably rather bring on some players, improve others, try different things than obsess about the unbeaten run, but I don't see it coming to an end this weekend, and it's definitely something they should fight to protect.
Does Celtic have anything to prove on Saturday?
No, they don't. I think the only thing Celtic have got to prove yet is how many trophies they'll have in this team photo come the start of next season. But then I'll completely contradict myself by saying I suppose you have to prove yourself in every Old Firm game. past few weeks will go out the window, the rest of the season will go out the window when it comes to kick-off time. There'll only be one priority for everyone involved.
Like Sun Sport on Facebook for all the Scottish football latest.
Moving away from all things Old Firm, Hamilton Accies, another defeat at Aberdeen. I think it's 1-1 in 16 for Martin Canning. Accies are currently second bottom. Are you beginning to fear for Martin? Do you think he's under serious pressure now?
I think we say this every year about a clutch of these teams. The league's fascinating because there's nothing between probably the seven teams out with the top five, if my maths is right. I say the same things about Hamilton every year. I always think they're well organised under Martin Canning. They're very rarely dismantled in games. He just has nothing really up top. There's no one striker he can rely upon the way Coulibaly might dig Kilmarnock out of a hole once in a while, a couple other teams. So he doesn't worry me because he always seems to come up with a plan in the end, but it's definitely going to be a close run thing this year.
I mean, have the Accies fans got a right to expect more? I mean, it is a dreadful run of results, you know. I know certainly their home record in particular shocking. I know a few Accies season ticket holders, and yes, they do exist. Do they have a right to expect more? Or should the manager be under big scrutiny at the moment?
I think,
given the size of the club and the budget,
every supporter is going to think their club's the most important in the world and they deserve more. But you remember how some Accies fans were short with Billy Reid when they were flying and they had the McCarthys and MacArthurs. There always seems to be grumps and groans at that stadium. Maybe it's just because you can hear them, the individual shouts. But no, I don't really think they can. We go back to budgets. St Johnstone overachieved massively because they have a very, very good manager and a very experienced, committed bunch of guys. I think it's asking a lot for Hamilton to do much more than they're doing.
They're at home to Motherwell on Saturday. Big, you know, Hogmanay derby. Canning has referred to it as the biggest game in years for them. Agreed?
I'll go along with that, yep. And it's impossible to know which Motherwell team's going to turn up because I've seen them a few times in the last few weeks and they seem to veer from one extreme to the other. So it's a game I'm going to and I'm really looking forward to it.
It was a big win for Aberdeen over Accies. It was a necessary win in terms of this ever-increasing, intriguing fight for second place. They've got Hearts at Tynecastle on Friday night. Cracking game. Ian Cathro's finally got his first win. How do you see Friday night going?
I think it's going to be fascinating. It missed the fact. I'm not Derek McInnes' biggest fan, but I think it's impossible to argue against what he's achieved at Aberdeen. But having said all that, I did not understand the grumps and groans there in the last few weeks, albeit they didn't turn up in the cup final, but they had a couple of sticky results. It's not exactly the crisis that I think some people tried to make it out to be. Hearts, I'm not going to make too much of a win against Kilmarnock because I don't think they're any great shakes. It's probably as irrelevant in the grand scheme of things as the previous three struggling games. I just think they're two well-matched teams and I think it'll be a fascinating head-to-head. I did say at the start of the season that I thought the league would finish Celtic, Rangers, Hearts, Aberdeen, and I'll stick to that. I think Hearts might get a result on Friday.
It's a cracking game. You know, it is a cracking game. There's no doubt about it. I mean, if we look at the other Saturday fixtures, Dundee St Johnstone, Partick Thistle, Kilmarnock, Ross County, Inverness, Highland Derby, that's another fascinating game. Who would you pick out from that one, Ross County, Inverness?
I think I've slightly more faith in Ross County, but they're getting to that January sales time of year where they seem to change half their squad. I just think Ross County maybe have a wee bit more about them, although I do like Richie Foran as a guy as much as anything else. I think he's straight talking. I almost think predictions are pointless in the bottom seven teams because anyone can beat anyone. I think it really is stating the obvious, but if someone can scrape that sixth place, that is their best chance of staying up, because I think we're going to get to a stage this season where the entire bottom six could go down.
Keep bang up to date with Scottish football by following Sun Sport on Twitter.
Kenny, you need to forgive me. I can't not mention the championship situation at the top of the table. I mean, since our last podcast, Hibs have been upstaged by Dundee United. Dundee United go into the weekend fixtures with a 2-point lead at the top now. And, you know, I think everyone knows all the pressure on Hibs. Has that surprised you, that turn of events, or have you seen this coming?
Seen it coming. To be honest, I just think for whatever reason it's not quite clicking just now. I think Neil Lennon really lacks width in the team. It's an area he's obviously looking to address in January because he's had a lot of trialists in. We've talked about the players he wants to bring in. They've had key injuries to people like John McGinn and Fraser Fivey, but I don't think there's any excuses to be made for Hibs because they have by far the biggest budget, by far the biggest squad, and they should be doing better. It's probably the honest truth. Ray McKinnon's done a terrific job at Dundee United. He inherited a shambles. He's got a group to buy into what he's trying to do, and they turned around an 8-point deficit. So Hibs really feeling the heat from Dundee United just now.
Both are away on Saturday. Dundee United at Dumbarton, Hibs at Falkirk. Do you see a change at the top of the table this weekend, or do you see both sides coming out as they are just now?
I think Dundee United will do what they've been doing, and I think they'll scrape a win at Dumbarton. And even though Falkirk haven't been firing on all cylinders, it's always a right good ding dong between them and Hibs. So I could see a point apiece there. So advantage Dundee United going into the new year.
Kenny, thanks as always for your analysis and opinions.